Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
It's football at four with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Welcome to it. Happy Friday, everybody. What a beautiful, beautiful Friday afternoon it is in our great city of Denver, Colorado. Man, you did it. You made it to Friday. We're so happy for you. We'll have that fire up at 5 o'clock, so get ready for that. And, of course, it's football at 4, and I want to ask you about these Denver Broncos and these third downs that we seem to not be able to overcome. Oh, it seems that that's an area of improvement that has to happen. We're right now ranked 27th in the NFL in third down. That may tell the whole story why we average right around 23 points a game, because it's hard to score points when you don't
convert on third down. Yeah.
So tell me if you could whisper something in Bill Musgrave's ear about third down, you would whisper what into his ear about what you see with this Denver Bronco football team?
Put Matt LaCosse and Brian Parker on the field. Case Keenum is comfortable throwing the ball to them. He looks like he anticipates their route running ability when they're on. Touchdown a couple weeks ago that we saw with the Steelers. He's putting that ball right on LaCosse before he's getting down the route, before he's even breaking down. He's letting that ball fly.
You know, so, we had issues early in the year with Case trying to fit the ball in to tight ends and causing him to be intercepted. I mean, do you throw that out the window when you look at his production with LaCosse?
Yeah, absolutely, because he's built up that rapport. And right now you're getting ready to go in a game where you don't got a lot of guys that's been out there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Cortland Sutton has been out there majority of the time, but who else? You know what I mean?
And don't you see the matchup being Richard Sherman on Cortland Sutton all day?
Exactly.
Do you try to just zero that out? Like, Cortland Sutton, you're not beating us today. We're putting Richard Sherman on you. So it's going to fall on somebody else.
Yeah.
You don't challenge Richard Sherman, do you? Not every play.
Not every play, but
third down completions.
Not every play, but Cortland Sutton is too gifted as an athlete not to give him looks. So if he is running
even
his route.
Even with Richard Sherman draped all over him?
Oh, man, I'm going to try to throw up the ball, man. We heard it this past week.
He's 6'2", cornerback. 6'3", cornerback.
Sutton is jumping out the gym. Richard Sherman's coming off an Achilles injury. We heard it this past week, Vance Joseph said that those 50-50 balls, when they go to Cortland Sutton, those balls in the air where he has to go up and get it, it's more 70-30 Cortland. Well, I beg to differ. I think it's more 80-20 Cortland Sutton. I've been seeing this kid do it since day one.
No doubt. I'm just looking at it.
I'm not saying Cortland Sutton needs 10 targets. No, I'm not saying that.
And I'm saying maybe he does if he didn't have Richard Sherman this weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to be the matchup for the 49ers. Big wide receiver versus their big corner.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is,
you're not afraid of that matchup.
Don't shy away from it.
How many targets then would you target Cortland Sutton this weekend with Richard Sherman out there in one-on-one in critical moments of the game, third down? How many targets are you giving him on third down?
Just third down? One or two. You know, I think Cortland Sutton.
You're not going to try Richard Sherman on third down a bunch.
Yeah. One or two, you know, especially if you're in that red zone area, third down. Third and six, and I'm taking a shot at the end zone. Absolutely, just like you saw last week.
We have to see more of the route tree out of Cortland Sutton. Do you think it's time for that right now?
That's the issue, and that's where, you know, a lot of my co-hosts on Sundays, John Davis, that I do the Facebook Live stuff with, he said that at some point Cortland Sutton was going to, at the start of the season, at some point Cortland Sutton was going to basically put Demaryius Thomas on the bench. But now we know Demaryius is gone, and all that, but my argument was he would not put Demaryius Thomas on the bench for the simple fact that Demaryius Thomas's route running was superb. He was a better route runner than Cortland Sutton. Cortland Sutton, all we have seen is the high posts out of him, and we've seen these nine routes, these go routes out of him that he's been successful. We haven't seen a lot of 10-yard outs, the ends, the curls. We have not seen that. And You know, with Emmanuel Sanders going down this past week,
right.
We're going to be relying on him a lot more, and he's going to have to become a professional route runner over these next couple weeks.
If you're the offensive coordinator for the Denver Broncos this weekend, knowing about that matchup that we've been talking about, the Richard Sherman matchup with Courtland Sutton, who are you going to on third down in critical moments of the game?
I'm telling you. I already told you.
LaCoste?
I'm putting Brian Parker and LaCoste on the field at the same time. I'm going in a two tight end set. If it's third and eight or less,
you're not going to go three tight ends? No. You're not going to go three wide outs?
I'm going two tight ends, two wide receivers. I'm going Deshaun Hamilton, Courtland Sutton, Brian Parker, Matt LaCoste, and I'm having Phillip Lindsay in the backfield running a route.
I don't know if I like that, man, because I think Tim Patrick has earned his way onto the field along with Deshaun Hamilton.
Deshaun Hamilton and Tim Patrick, they can rotate. Third down, hey, this is your
time.
But
why would you do that? Because you're an offensive lineman.
No,
that's why you would do that.
I'm not doing that.
You want the big guys on the field, man. Go ahead and say it.
I'm looking at who he's going to on these third down plays over the past couple weeks.
But he's been running boot. But you know that the boot has been taken away from us in the last game. And don't think that we're going to have the boot available this week.
Why it's not? You run it.
Because teams with veteran guys.
You continue
and Buckner
to run
is
it.
A
it's
guy who's playing
up.
Out there. If you run it. But I'm talking about on third down. In third down. You're asking for two tight ends to be part of a package when everybody knows that it's a third down and six. You're not running the football there. You're going to throw the football, so you might as well have your receivers on the field.
Do you think? Do you trust these wide receivers on this Denver Broncos team more than you trust these tight ends in the
passing game? I like LaCoste, and I do
these
like
other guys other than Courtland
Tim Patrick.
Sutton.
I like Tim Patrick. Deshaun Hamilton has had a couple of drops, trying to figure out who he is. Great route runner. Great
absolutely,
route runner.
Absolutely.
I mean, a fantastic 100% route runner.
But does Case Keenum have the rapport that he has with Matt LaCoste, with Tim Patrick, with Deshaun Hamilton right now going into this game? If you say yes, you're just being biased because it's no. The answer's no.
Well, I mean, of course not.
He likes to throw to those tight ends. For whatever reason, he is more comfortable throwing at the tight ends. So if it's
well,
third
he likes
down,
the matchups
you
better.
Have
I think
it.
He likes the matchups better. But, I mean, their tight end, Kittle, is an outstanding tight end.
He's a top three tight end in this league.
Oh, that guy is off the chain.
He's on pace to get 1,100 yards.
Yeah, I don't think LaCoste is in that category.
Oh, no, he's not. But given to what we have on this team and given to the success that Case Keenum had with Kyle Rudolph last year and in the red zone, with Kyle Rudolph and on third downs, just being
but
more
we got
comfortable.
I mean, listen, man, it's not been good.
First
half of the year going to the tight end, that just wasn't pretty. That was not pretty, and it cost him big. It cost him in the ways of completions and interceptions. And I think maybe it was just a combination. Maybe it was Hireman and not being on the same page there.
Yeah.
But going forward, man, I am looking forward to seeing the tight ends and running backs more involved in the game, more involved with the screen game, more involved with Phillip Lindsay displacing and getting his, you know.
The life of me, I don't know why the Broncos won't.
I don't understand why he has to go out in obvious pass situations on third down. That's the one that bothers me.
Yeah, why we've only seen three screens go to Phillip Lindsay all year. I have no idea why you would take out Devontae Booker. Why you take off Phillip Lindsay and put Devontae Booker in on a third down
It should be just the opposite. But anyway, we'll have Troy Rank on the other side. This is The Drive.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web. 303-790-2222, the phone number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, game day's favorite light lager. Here's Big Al and D-Mac.
Welcome to Friday afternoon here on The Drive. Big Al and D-Mac. Orlando Franklin sitting in for my main man, D-Mac. And the beat goes on. Yes, the beat goes on. And we got my main man joining us now. Troy Ring, Denver 7 Bronco Insider, presented by Tranny Law Offices. Have you or someone you know been arrested for a DUI? Contact the Tranny Law Offices at 303-333-1816 for help. And we'll go out to my main man, Troy. Troy, how you doing, man?
Doing fantastic. You guys have a great show today. Love listening.
Thank you. I got Orlando Franklin in here breaking down the offensive side of the ball. Of course, I have the defensive side kind of settled in. But tell me about this team and who the Broncos will be using in, I guess, pressure-filled situations on third down. Who do you think the Broncos go with?
Either on offense or defense?
Offense.
Yeah, offensively, you guys have touched on it. They got to be a little more creative in how they use Phillip Lindsay. I think you are going to see two guys in the backfield at once, but I don't know that it'll be Freeman and Lindsay. If it's third down, Al, I would expect you'll see Lindsay and Booker in the game. Booker's been good on third down.
Yes, he has.
Now, there's been a lot of criticism of Booker leading into the season, but the reality is he's played well on third down. He showed a little more shimmy in the run game for him than he did in the previous few years. But I would expect to see those two on the field together in third down. Maybe Freeman, but I'd see it's more likely it's Booker and Lindsay. And the key is they've got to get production out of Deshaun Hamilton and or Matt Lacoste. Hamilton wasn't targeted. He was essentially a sixth offensive lineman used to block the safety in the run game last week. But he's got to have, you got to figure, 3 to 4 catches. Even if he's a decoy, he's got to be involved somehow in the passing game a little bit because they're going to just start sliding everything over to Courtland Sutton. And Sutton's having a great year, but you know he's not going to be breaking through double coverage. Somebody else has to be a threat. And Lindsay, as Orlando talked about, he is such a weapon in space. Whether it's in a screen or just a quick slant as a slot guy, get him in space and let him go to work.
Now, I have to ask you, do you think that Courtland Sutton is ready for this number one wide receiver position for the Denver Broncos? This is very unusual that you lose your first receiver and your second receiver in the same year, one through trade and one through injury. Do you think that Courtland Sutton is ready for that next level?
From confidence standpoint, absolutely. From athleticism, absolutely. From experience and the route tree, no, he's not there yet. Now they've microwaved his development this year. His development's what made the Demaryius Thomas trade possible. I mean, part of it was the money with Demaryius, his age, but they also believed in Courtland, but you know, they didn't want him to be a number one right now. That wasn't the plan. Again, the key is somebody else has to be a threat with him. Because even the best receivers can be taken out of games if you slide coverage over to him, get man coverage, bump him off the line. And again, he doesn't have the route tree experience that other guys do. So athletically and confidence, absolutely, Al. But again, it's going to be a work in progress. And what I liked last week is he made plays. And he was coming off a couple of games where he wasn't happy with himself. He challenges himself. He has high expectations. So everything about him screams number one, but I don't think he's there yet.
Who replaces Chris Harris in the slot? I think it's going to be, it may be Roby in the slot, Yadam outside, and then Tremaine Brock outside to go with that. What do you see happening in this all-important slot position for the Denver Broncos since Chris Harris is out?
Yeah, Brock's out. They ruled him out today, so it won't be Brock. And so they're thin. They're going to have to be creative.
Hold on real quick. He's out because of what? Because he didn't practice on Wednesday and Thursday. Me and D-Mac talked about this yesterday.
Yeah, I was listening to your conversation. He was working on the side. He didn't practice today. So he was ruled out today by Vance Joseph.
What's the injury?
The broken ribs / the rib injury.
Rib injury, okay.
For a couple of weeks ago. So he was running on the side with Lauren Landau, but he is now out. He ruled out. So I guarantee you he won't play. They ruled him out today.
Okay.
So you're going to have Isaac Yiadom and Roby in at corner. I think they're going to be creative. And they're going to use Justin Simmons, some in nickel, to guard the slot. And you're going to see Sue Cravens and Will Parks in the game at the same time.
Okay.
So you could have three safeties in with Parks, Cravens, and Stewart. But the key guy in all this, Al, is Simmons' ability to play slot. When they need to play against slot guys when they need him to. And they may move Roby over once in a while, but they're going to be safety heavy. And my guess is they're going to be safety heavy. Cravens is playing really well right now, and Parks has had a solid season. So I think they're going to just rely on safeties more than corners. Because Langley hasn't even been mentioned, Al. So it's not going to be Langley moving up with Brock out.
Right.
It's going to be Justin Simmons in these safeties.
I agree, but I think you're – would be Justin Simmons going down to the nickel package and Then you got to put Will Parks in the game, man. He's been playing too good.
I think he's
going to be in some, too. I agree with you, O. He's going to be in. That's what I'm saying. It's going to be a combination of those three. And Simmons played essentially Harris's position after he left in that game last week. I think they could get away with it these next 2 weeks using it this way. They would really behoove them to get Chris Harris back against the Chargers, because they have three legitimate receivers, and he can take Keenan Allen one-on-one. And I don't know that if you're playing to get in the playoffs without Chris Harris in that game, that's uncomfortable.
Oh, Troy, does Jamar Taylor play this week?
Yeah, I think he plays, but I just think you got to, you know, temper the expectations. He's available, and he knows the defense, and, you know, does that mean 8 snaps? Does that mean 12? The idea he's going to come in and play 35, 40 snaps, I don't see that. Now, again, he's played a lot in the league.
Okay.
But I just think he's available for depth. And, you know, if let's say Yadam has a bad series or something, needs to gather himself, just think those kind of things where you have him as an insurance policy on Sunday. I don't know that he's going to play a heck of a lot unless something gets squirrely.
You don't put him in the top three cornerbacks?
Well, he is, right? This week. Yeah, he is now with Brock out. I just don't know that they're going to use that alignment as much. I think they're going to use more safeties than corners. But, again, he's played in the league, but there's a reason he was available, too. I mean, it wasn't like he was playing Pro Bowl level and he just happened to be on the street. So, and he just got here, 3 days ago. But he just, if nothing else, Al, it gives him just a security blanket that if a guy has a bad series or, you know, that they bring in a matchup you don't like, that you have at least some way to counter it without using Langley, because they don't have confidence in him yet.
Right, okay. Appreciate you, brother. It's going to be a good game this weekend, if one that the Broncos should get the dub. How do you have it this weekend, Broncos versus the 49ers?
Yeah, I agree. I think they're going to win ugly again. It's been crazy in a league with touchdowns for everyone and rainbows and unicorns. The Broncos are winning old school. They're just playing good defense. The last 3 weeks, they're allowing 16 points a game, 9 sacks, 9 takeaways, so I see them winning. Al, it's very similar to the Bengals game. Got a 24-18, rugged, couple big plays, and then take the ball away.
Come on, Troy, you're gonna say that they're just playing good defense? They're running that football, man. Come on, Troy.
Well, they're killing it on the ground, but they've been doing that all year. They were playing great defense early in the year. This 3-game stretch, they are playing crazy good defense. 9 takeaways. They only had 18 takeaways all of last season. They've had 9 the last 3 games.
Okay, Troy, have a great weekend, man. That's my main man. That's my main man, Troy Rank, Denver 7 Broncos Insider. Presented by Tranny Law Offices. I don't know if I necessarily like the safeties in the slot. Talk me into that next on the drive, because I got to tell you, something just does not feel right about safeties playing in the slot.
To Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos. Here's Big Al and D-Mac.
I don't know, but if you're talking about all-time starting five, you gotta consider Kevin Durant in that starting five. I mean, come on, man.
I'm definitely leaving them out of there.
Welcome to the drive. We're looking at Allen Iverson talking about his all-time starting five. He listed Steph Curry, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, and Shaquille O'Neal. No Kevin Durant. Huh.
I agree.
Yeah.
Well, of course.
I agree. Not a KD fan, I guess. Huh?
I am a fan. But okay. Who are we putting on the bench for him?
Jordan?
Absolutely.
That was a joke. Wow. That was a joke. Look at that reaction I got out of you.
Oh, man.
You can't put Kobe or LeBron.
You can't take Shaq.
Who do you want? Kobe, I mean, let me ask you this then. Who do you want right now? Do you want LeBron or KD?
LeBron.
You want LeBron over KD?
Yeah. He's the best player in the world.
KD?
LeBron James.
Okay.
Right now.
All right. Can't ask you any more basketball questions.
You realize the Lakers are like number 2 in their division right now?
No, they're not.
Yes, in their division they are.
Oh, in their division. I'm talking about in the Western division.
I mean,
the Western Conference.
West is tough, man.
But Nuggets, I mean, look what the Nuggets are doing, right? You love what the Nuggets are doing. Right, maybe Michael Malone is the best answer for this Denver Nuggets basketball team.
And I got back here in May of last year, man. I went in on a suite with one of my partners. And I was like, okay, you know what? I'll buy 6 tickets to the suite. So I have 6 tickets to every game. Anything that comes through the Pepsi Center, right. I'm like, this is perfect. I'm about to go to all the basketball games, all the hockey games. I mean, what? Hockey and basketball, they've played, what, about 25 games already? So about, what, they played 13 games at home already. How many games do you think I've been to? I've been to 1 basketball game, and I've been to opening night for the Habs.
And you're such a huge hockey fan.
Yeah, I just sit at home, man. I watch my Leafs, man. Got to watch my Leafs.
Okay. You are who you are. Let me ask you about this real quick. The 49ers are a special team on offense because of all the ways that Kyle Shanahan gets them into good plays. My key to this game is simple. Take away chunk plays because we know they got some guys that can really roll. I mean, they have some receivers, and Goodwin is back this week. They have some guys who can really roll. Take away chunk plays and take away screens. The 49ers aren't built to drive up and down the field and make plays. Do you agree with that?
I agree. You know, with Brother not being available for them, they're not built to withstand a 15-play drive and just keep going up and down the field. They're looking for the chunk plays.
Yeah, I'm saying with that being said, knowing that we're low on corners, I think we get a heavy dose of cover three. And away we go. You know, we're not going to give up huge plays. But stopping the screen game, you know, that is something that is unusually good for the Kyle Shanahan offenses. They run screens to tight ends. They run screens to running backs. They run screens to receivers. The best screen team that I've ever seen, the best screen team this year in the NFL, I do believe, are the San Francisco 49ers. How do you stop the screen game if you're a defensive lineman who's looking to get numbers? And we know that McGlinchey will have to sit out there and try to deal with Von Miller. And we know that Staley, the old wily veteran, they will have a young rookie out there in Chubb who wants to get to the quarterback. I have no idea about something as simple as a screenplay and how to stop it because as a defensive lineman, you've been taught if you want to make the money, you got to hit the quarterback. So you're always up the field.
I agree, but Von Miller, you know, 8th year in the league, has done a great job on his screenplays and how he's reacted. You know, we've seen that.
They're not going to run him to Von. They're going to run him to the rookie.
They're going to run him to Chubb. But we've seen Chubb have some good success in his change of direction. I mean, that's the thing that I love about Bradley Chubb and where he's at right now. Through week 13 of the season, where he's at right now is his change of direction and recognizing what teams are trying to do. But also these linebackers, man, Josie Jewell, tackling machine, but Todd Davis. I've seen Todd Davis make play after play on screens. So I think this Broncos defense matches up really well and is going to be able to take away those screens that the San Francisco 49ers are trying to run on them. I've seen a play And early in the season with Todd Davis, that man, if that play don't go down as one of the NFL's top 100 plays where they ran a screen and there was 2 offensive linemen on him and he spins out and he stands up the running back for and it's third down and he stands him up like 2 yards before. Come on, man. That was a heck of a play. So I think that this defense has done enough and will continue to get better to eliminate the big plays in the screen game against the San Francisco 49ers.
You know, I was thinking about how do you stop the screen play, and usually you try to tell your defensive tackles in those situations, look, man, you guys have the screen. Like, this is what the edge guys will tell the defensive tackles. Listen, man, you guys take the screen. I'm going outside. Or, you know, I'm going you can't, but as an edge guy, especially our edge guys, you can't expect those guys to retrace and make the plays in the screen game. It's got to be the defensive tackles. And the worst thing that you want to be called as a defensive lineman is somebody who plays the screen really well.
And we see Von Miller intercept the screen the other day.
Yeah, he fell back into it. You know, that was unusual. But once again, you know, if you're up the field, Von has played in the middle on, you know, maybe 40 or 50 plays this year. And I say in the middle where he's not rushing and he's not dropping. He's just like watching and reading everything. He actually got a sack on a play where he was, he took three or four steps up the field and was almost in a spot situation and sacked Russell Wilson. So he's done that, and maybe he'll use some of that this weekend, but you would expect Von Miller to be lighting it up against McGlinchey, right?
Oh, absolutely. I think he's going to be, we're going to see a very aggressive Von Miller this week. He's going against a rookie that is tall, extremely tall. And you know when
and
that,
tough.
Yeah, that punch is coming a little high. So Von Miller's going to be relying on his explosiveness, his explosive first step off the line of scrimmage, but also his flexibility that we've seen time after time with ducking underneath these offensive tackles. So it might put you in a bind, but these linebackers, you know, the combination of Josie Jewell and Todd Davis has been really well. They've worked together really well the past couple weeks, and you know those are the guys that got to make those plays.
Yeah, but they also run a tight end screen. You know, this guy Kittle, man, he can actually run. I mean, if you turn on the film on Sunday and you're watching the game,
I'm scared about Kittle,
that guy.
Man.
That guy can actually run.
I agree.
He is one of the best looking tight ends that I've seen, a move tight end that I've seen in a long time for the 49ers. I played with Brent Jones. He moves much better than Brent Jones. I mean, that's a guy who was borderline Hall of Fame playing with Steve Young there, and this guy is flat out fast. Yeah. So that's going to be in my assessment, taking away that screen game, taking away the deep pass, playing cover three, and just rallying up to the ball and being good in the red zone like we have been on defense is the key to the game. When we come back, we'll have your keys to the game.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, game day's favorite light lager. Here's Big Al and D-Mac.
Get ready for that fire up. Coming at 5 o'clock. I know you're ready for that fire up, aren't you?
I'm ready.
Are you going to join me in this fire up, man?
I'm gonna try, man. I'm gonna try.
You're always fired up on game day, man. When you're talking about the Broncos, and you can hear that every game day as soon as the kick happens.
But I
turn your radio right to 104.3 The Fan and listen to Big O and John give you the gospel when it comes to the Broncos.
Man, I don't know if I can match your intensity though.
What are you talking about, man? It's just a good time. It's gonna happen here in roughly 12 minutes, man. The fire up is always. It's always something I look forward to.
You got
to
lead me to the promised land now, big fella.
Big old man, what are your keys to this game, man, to get the victory, to get the dub, to get the win for the Denver Broncos?
It's all about takeaways, man. 49ers have minus 20 this year in takeaways. The Broncos have plus 9 in the last three games. The Broncos got to find a way to get that ball, take it away from these guys.
If it's just that easy. You know, I always say this, man. Sometimes less is more. But when you're playing offense and you have that game plan and you have a big game plan and everybody on your team is knowledgeable about the game plan, but there's one caveat. Everybody isn't efficient enough to run it.
Yep.
Do you still run that big playbook of plays, or do you simplify? Because it looks like the 49ers have, I mean, they still have all the same plays that Kyle Shanahan has run, some special plays, some gotcha plays. They have all of those plays, but they don't particularly lock down and just do this one thing a bunch of times. They do a bunch of things. What would you do if you Kyle Shanahan in this situation? Why are they continuing to do all the things that maybe put their guys at risk to turn the football over? Makes no sense to me.
Kyle's an offensive genius. I mean,
he doesn't
have that personnel,
right?
But he just continues to go
he's
with the philosophy.
Yeah,
he's going with the philosophy of, hey, next man up. Oh, we don't have this guy. We're going to teach him this system. And you got to learn my system, and that's how I'm going to call the football game. He's a genius at play calling. He's an absolute genius.
But he
does not have the personnel.
Well, let me ask you this. Last weekend, I would say that Bill Musgrave was a genius to not put the ball in the air and, you know, in that heavy wind conditions in Cincinnati, not put his team at risk with turnovers. I think that that was also genius, and wait for them to make mistakes before we would make them. So I thought that was a genius plan last week, even though it doesn't produce the mega points. But you know that they're going to make a mistake before you do. Isn't that also genius as well?
Oh, absolutely. I definitely agree. But the difference is we know that although it looks like a genius move, not throw the ball.
It was ugly. It was ugly. Now, watching it wasn't pretty.
I mean, look at the throw to Courtland Sutton for the touchdown. That's throwing the ball down the field.
Right.
You know, you're throwing it up there. You're trying to get a chunk. But I think it's more of a genius move by Bill Musgrave in limiting the passing attempts for Case Keenum. And we're keeping them at a cap. Last week, Case Keenum threw the ball 19 times last week. Ran the ball twice, so was supposed to throw the ball 21 times. Ran the ball 2 times on the pressures. And then we saw a running game that ran the ball 32 times. Hey, man, although it might look ugly, you're winning football games. In 2011, that's how we lived. With Tim Tebow, we ran the football. We led the league in rushing, and we ran the football week after week. Everybody knew we were going to run it. Didn't look ugly, but hey, all that matters at the end of the game is that your team has scored 1 point more than the other team. So I don't think it's more of a genius situation and the weather had a factor of doing it. No, I think Bill Musgrave called the game like that because
even if the weather was good, he would have called it the same way.
He realized that the running game was going and it was rolling, that Cincinnati couldn't stop the running game, and he didn't need to put the ball in Case's hands and have him go have 35 attempts in last week's game.
Well, you know, you talk about us running the football at a high clip, and certainly we are doing that. As far as yards per game, the Denver Broncos roll into this football game, fifth in the NFL, averaging 132.5 yards a game. The top five, you know, this is a good list because it's full of guys at least with a 6-6 record, 500. Seattle Seahawks, we know that they've turned it around. The Carolina Panthers, we know who they are because of the quarterback who runs with the ball, but the Houston Texans who are on the road, the Rams, and the Denver Broncos. Number six, by the way, is the Dallas Cowboys. Number seven, Baltimore Ravens. But there it is. Number eight, the San Francisco 49ers. They do a great job running the football. We always talk about us running the football.
Remember, Britta was leading the league like the first seven games.
Yeah,
he was leading the league in rushing yards.
What do you say? Do you think that this will be another game where our run defense will be tested, or do you think that they'll try to put it in the quarterback hands?
You got a young quarterback that has 4 starts under his belt, and it's always better to get your offensive lineman moving forward rather than backwards. So they're going to test out this Broncos run defense, and each and every team is going to test this Broncos run defense. They're going to have to continue to prove themselves because you know it, Big Al, just like I do. In the NFL, it doesn't matter if you correct something. Teams are going to continue to try to exploit that. And with how the Broncos played against the Jets and then the Rams the following week where you give up 2 rushers that have over 200 yards rushing, teams are going to think, well, hey, maybe it's our week and we're going to have that 200-yard rusher. So they're going to continue to test them each and every week. So they got to go out there and play each and every week.
What we need is to see Nick Mullins have 48 attempts like he did against the Seattle Seahawks. That means that they're losing.
And that means you're stopping the run?
That means that you're stopping the run, and it's putting that team in a bad situation. Anytime you see a quarterback throw it for 19 times, it usually means that you have control of the game.
Absolutely. I've been in games where we only threw the ball 9 times.
With 2 completions?
Kansas City, yep.
So you're a fan of this new-look Denver Bronco. It's like they've almost switch gears in the middle of the season, you know, where they went away from Case Keenum throwing the ball 37 to 45 times a game.
Yeah, they found their identity. I'm a fan of
that. And what is their identity?
They're a run-first team. We're not going to come out and go 5 wide on the first play of the game. No, we're going to run the ball. So they're a team that's going to feature Philip Lindsay. We saw all the accolades this past week, FedEx player, ground player of the week, rookie of the week. We saw all the accolades. They're going to rely on Philip Lindsay. They have finally found their identity. It took them a little longer than it's supposed to take. You know, I like to say the first 4 weeks of a season, that's when a team is trying to find their identity. It took them eight, but they have finally found it.
But, I mean, Phillip Lindsay was always special. When we saw him touch the football, we saw special things. And
yeah, but I think
Rush Freeman has looked great at times as well. But, I mean, this is a nice combination of 1-2 running backs around here. And I'm really surprised that Phillip Lindsay is the starting running back. And, you know, he profiled as being a guy that was going to be a third down running back for us. You know what I'm saying? I mean, everything about him says that he's going to be a third down back for us. To see him as a starting running back, and I was talking to D-Mac about this just yesterday. Phillip Lindsay's not a young guy in this league. He can handle a lot. I mean, he's a mature guy, captain of the CU Buffs when he was there, and he's 24 years old.
Yeah.
He's 24 years old. He is a rookie, but he's not a young rookie. He's 24 years old. He's in his prime. Give him more to handle in the passing game. He can handle more in the passing game because of his maturity.
Yeah, I just rather, even if he's going to handle more in the passing game, I want him as a pass catcher. You know, with Emmanuel Sanders going down, I want to see Phillip Lindsay at the slot position. Put Royce Freeman in the backfield to pick up those blitzes, because you don't want 240. A 245-pound linebacker running downhill at Phillip Lindsay and telling Phillip Lindsay, hey, go pick up this blitz, because that's an added hit.
Yeah,
and
but you can also put him in the route to get him those quick looks against coverage as well.
Him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that, but I haven't seen enough out of Case to know that he knows where to go with the ball right now. You know, you got to have a quarterback that understands, hey, you know what, they're bringing this fire zone. I need to check it down to Phillip Lindsay, or I need to check to Courtland Sutton right now, because this corner's getting ready to blitz off the edge, and just have Courtland Sutton run a 5-yard stop at that point where I'm getting the ball out of my hand right now. And I haven't seen that out of Case. So the more Case continues to develop and is his hots and his reads, yeah, you could put Phillip Lindsay in there on third down in the backfield. But I'm telling you right now, that's the issue is right now.
Would you use Royce Freeman, though, as your third down back, or would you keep with Booker? Booker has been good.
He has been good. It's a toss-up between both of those, and Booker gets the nod because of the fact he's been around this league a lot longer. He's seen those blitzes. He knows how to pick them up.
Well, line it up. Getting ready for the fire up. 303-713-1043. That's 303-713-1043. It's going to be epic. I mean, it's going to be epic. We are going to take down the San Francisco 49ers. How's your confidence right now on this game as far as wins and losses? How is your confidence?
Oh, I'm confident. I'm definitely confident.
Are you overconfident like I was when we went to go play the Jets? Are you overconfident?
No, I'm not overconfident. The reason why I'm not overconfident is because the Jets game already happened. I know they are being reminded of that game each and every day this week.
Right.
So they know that they can't just go out there and expect to win a football game. They got to go out there and dominate to win a football game.
Did you like the fact that they won an 11 a.m. start game last weekend against the Bengals? To me, I'm always leery about playing at 11 a.m. That is the one part of playing in the NFL when you live in Denver that is so different than everything else out there.
Yeah, I agree, man. I've always been a big fan of leaving on Friday, but they got it. They made it. They found a way to make it work.
Now, when you played for the, I got to ask you, when you played for the Chargers,
what
time did you guys,
Bronco fans, to get up?
Oh, don't worry about that. That was a little brief blip on the radar. What time did you guys leave to play a team like Cincinnati when you were on the West Coast?
When we were the Chargers, anytime that we were going two time zones, so anytime, say, you were playing you're going two time zones because San Diego's one time zone behind us. So anytime you're going up two time zones, Kansas City, you would always leave on Friday.
Okay.
And it was just to get guys there, get them acclimated, let them have Friday night to meet up with their family members and let them kind of relax and get some downtime. And for me, what a big thing was me, man, I don't know about you. You're a big fellow just like me. But when I used to get on flights, man, I would get, like, my knees would get sore and I'd get all inflamed. So I would actually get in the ice tub on a Saturday morning, you know. So I
really
loved leaving. Yeah, man, the planes used to mess with me a little bit. So I would get in the ice tub on Saturday morning. So that extra day kind of helped me out.
I didn't have to get on. I didn't have to get in the hot tub. I was already, baby, in fuego, baby. Always on fire. The fire up, man.
Man, they probably never had cold tubs back then.
We had them, but the big fella didn't need it because I was hot, and I know you are too. 303-713-1043. Get online. Get with it. The fire up is coming next.